Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What the prophet Joel proclaimed and Jesus promised has now been fulfilled. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out in fullness upon the church. We heard Joel's prophecy today from Peter's preaching in the reading from Acts, that in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And it was the past few weeks where we have heard Jesus' promises, when he had promised his disciples a helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who he would send them from the Father. And when right before he ascended, as we heard just last week, when he told them they would be clothed with power from on high. And then he instructed them to stay in the city until that happened. And today we heard when it did. The day of Pentecost. Jews from all over the world had gathered to celebrate this feast. A Pentecost feast, it turns out, unlike any other. For just as Jesus had transformed the great feast of the Passover, filling it with new meaning, with himself as the new Passover lamb, and with a new deliverance, not from slavery in Egypt, but from slavery to sin. So now he transforms the great feast of Pentecost. From the beginning of the wheat harvest to the beginning of the harvest of souls with the work of the Holy Spirit. And so led by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit, the disciples would now go out to all the world to proclaim Jesus as Savior and Lord. To proclaim the promise that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A calling upon made possible by that same Holy Spirit, working faith in the heart through the Word, working faith in Jesus crucified, risen, ascended, victorious, and reigning as the one true God. That is to say, Jesus glorified. For our faith is not just in a mighty God, a sovereign God, a transcendent God, but in a dying God. A God whose glory is not just to be mighty, sovereign, and transcendent, but whose glory is to lay down his life to save the world. That's why many couldn't figure Jesus out. They expected a big, powerful Messiah, not Jesus. They expected their Messiah to smite their enemies, not for their enemies to smite their Messiah. So Jesus, he can't be. So the people were thirsty. Thirsty for life, thirsty for God, thirsty for hope. The same old, well, was just the same old. Day after day, year after year, nothing was changing. And if it was, it wasn't for the better. The glory days of Israel, that's what they wanted back. The days of Kings David and Solomon, the days of peace and prosperity. But they were such a long time ago. It's hard to imagine them ever coming back. And really, it's the same today, isn't it? People today too are thirsty for life, thirsty for God, thirsty for hope. We're chasing after life and hope, but instead of finding them, we just get more thirsty and tired. Nothing seems to change, or if it does, not for the better. The internet started with such promise until it got filled with pornography and scammers and phishing schemes and trolls and misinformation and influencers and algorithms to addict us to it. And AI. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it real? Is it not? How do you know? Who's programming it? Who's informing it? How is it taking over? And maybe you too then long for the good old days. Thirst for the good old days when things were simpler, safer, saner. And for the glory days of the church too. A church filled with people. And when the church still had influence in our society. But that was such a long time ago. Probably those days are not coming back. Thirsty. That's a pretty good description of our world, isn't it? In so many ways, you can picture the devil offering you a drink and then pulling it back. Here's a drink. There's a drink, but never actually giving it to us. Or if he does, giving an empty cup and then filled with evil glee at the confusion and pain and captivity and emptiness he lures us into. But Jesus promises a drink. As we heard today, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I will give you what the world cannot. I will give you what the devil will not. And is Jesus able to do that? Well, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of water that give life. The life and hope we are thirsty for. That was my skull. And what is this water? This he said about the Spirit. For the Spirit gives what no one else can. What we need, what we are thirsty for. The gifts of God won for us by Jesus on the cross. And so the cross had to come first. For as yet the Spirit had not been given like this, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now the Spirit had been active and working before. He is mentioned often in the Old Testament, from creation to the prophets, to then overshadowing Mary when Jesus was conceived in her virgin womb. But he had not before been poured out like this. This was new. This was different. Because Jesus had now been glorified by being hung up on the cross. For there on the cross, in a way like no other, we see the love of God and the glory of God. In that he would use all his might and sovereignty to do that for us. And from there on the cross, in a way like no other then, the Spirit is also poured out for us. For when Jesus was crucified, you might remember this. When Jesus was crucified, we are told that when one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, at once there came out blood and water. Now, surely there are physical medical reasons for that. But this is not merely a physical reporting being given to us. There is also a spiritual meaning for that. That out of Jesus' side, out of Jesus' heart, his heart filled with great love for us in laying down his life for us, out of that heart pours the blood of the altar and the water of the font. The very places where our hunger and thirst are satisfied. No bait and switch here. No offering and pulling back. Just gifts. The gifts we need. The gifts we can find nowhere else. The gifts that from the Spirit flow, we sung earlier. The Spirit poured out from and by Christ crucified. So, what are you thirsting for? Is it forgiveness? Meaning? Value? Purpose? Life? Hope? Love? Peace? The world cannot give these things. Or if it does, only in the smallest measure and usually only for the shortest time. Until it decides not to. Until its standards change or its opinions change or your usefulness to it ends. And then they pull back the cup. And you are left thirsty. But not so with Jesus. From him comes that river of living water that never runs out. The Spirit poured out to fill us with the forgiveness, life, hope, love, and peace of God, and to give our lives meaning and purpose and value. Because if Jesus would lay down his life for you, it was to raise you up as he was raised up. To a new and eternal life. A life you have already begun to live in him. Because you have received his Spirit. The pouring out of the Spirit that began on Pentecost continues still today. The sound of the mighty rushing wind replaced by the voice of those who speak the word of God. And the tongues as of fire, replaced by the mark of the cross applied in the water of baptism. But though the signs change, it is the same Spirit, bringing Jesus and his gifts to you, and you to Jesus. That all you need, all you are thirsting for, you have. So if you find yourself still thirsty, still empty, still searching, hounded by sin, tormented with doubts and fears, striving for acceptance, chasing after meaning, what are you trying to satisfy your thirsting and hungering and searching with? Is it with what the world is offering? Where the thoughts and opinions of men are telling you it is? Is it constantly changing? Is the bar keep moving? Are you striving harder and harder, but only getting more and more thirsty, more and more hungry, and less hopeful, and less peaceful? If so, and I think that happens to all of us from time to time, or maybe a lot of the time, maybe it's time to be transformed from the old to the new. That with Jesus' new Passover and new Pentecost, there be a new you. In the world, but not of the world or filled with the world. In the world, but filled with Jesus and his Spirit and his gifts, that you hunger and thirst no more. But when you do, to come back and drink deeply of his word and forgiveness and eat and drink Jesus' body and blood and be filled with his life, which has no end. When Jesus spoke those words we heard from him today, John told us it was the last day of the feast, the great day. But when Jesus returns for us on the last day, the great day, it will not be the last day of our feast, but just the beginning of the feast. The feast of heaven, the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Where, as the book of Revelation tells us in words very similar to those we heard today, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more hunger, no more thirst, just Jesus, just life, life without end. That's what the day of Pentecost is all about. Not weird signs and wonders, but bringing the life of heaven to us. This new life begun now and with no end. So on this day, we who are thirsty pray, come, Holy Spirit, come from the heart of Jesus and fill the hearts of the faithful. Fill us. That from our hearts too flow rivers of living water. That filled with you and your life. That from our hearts and lives all we think and speak and do be filled with the Spirit of God. New lives filled with faith and hope and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.